Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to continue what we started 2 weeks ago. Praise the Lord, which we are entitling The Gift of the Pastor. And I believe that it will be a blessing to you. Ephesians chapter 4. Can you read with me there? We're just going to get right into it because it's already 11 past 11 and we need to move on. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, and I gave you some scriptures last time, but I just want to focus a little bit on some other scriptures today. But let's just kind of, as a bridge, because it has been 2 weeks, just pick up with this verse, particularly verse 12, Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about how when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts unto men. We talked about that a lot last week, or 2 weeks ago. And verse 12 says, for the perfecting, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We just had the prophet's office in here last week. And it's important that we're balanced, that we have more than just the pastor's office. The pastor's office is the most important office, Dad Hagin always said, but it's not the most anointed, it's not the most dramatic, and you need the others to balance so that you have a full balance of the gospel. Yes. But the pastor is the most important because you need it the most often, because it helps mature you and perfect you. Amen? But it's, so we see all five are there, and all five have this job for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. Remember I said 2 weeks ago, that doesn't mean for the work of the ministry. It actually means to do the work of the ministry. It's the Greek word eis that means to do, not for. And so the clergy back in 1611, when they translated this, they didn't believe that regular people could do ministry. You had to have gone to seminary, you had to speak Latin, you had to do all this stuff. And so they changed that Greek word there to make it just for the elite, just for the super elite, to do the work of the ministry. But that's not what the Bible says. It says my job is to perfect you so you can do the work of the ministry. Amen. How do I perfect you? It means to furnish you. It means to get you ready so that God can use you, basically. What God says is I want to use people, but they got to think right. Yeah. They got to live right, or I can't use them. So I give you a pastor as well as the other four. Pastor, you're going to see more often. The other four are going to come in at different times in the year, and they're going to furnish you and perfect you so that you can do what I've asked you to do. They're going to get you to think right so that you're qualified for me to be able to use you in the ministry. When I say the ministry, I don't mean the fivefold ministry that you're paid. I mean the kingdom of God ministry, because there's much that we need to do to help God, to get our souls saved, to minister under the anointing, to pray for revival. God wants to use us, but you got to think right for God to be able to use you. You got to live right for God to be able to use you. That's my job, is to get you ready so he can use you, not just so he can use me. Because if he just uses me, we're not going to go very far in this church. But if he uses you and me, the sky's the limit. Yeah. Praise God. So I have two job descriptions here. The way they translated it, looks like I have three, but I actually have two. The way it's translated, it makes it seem like my job is to perfect you, my job is to do the work of the ministry, and my job is to encourage you. But in the Greek, it means my job is to perfect you so you do the ministry, and my job is to encourage you. Amen. Perfect brings correction. Because you got to think right. But it's not only correction. If you only ever come and are corrected and you're never encouraged, you're not going to want to come to church. But did you notice the order? He put the perfecting or the correcting first. Because you got to think right and you got to live right and you got to live clean. And we living in perilous times where a lot of false teachers are out there. A lot of false prophets are out there, and they're telling you with this greasy grace doctrine, you can do whatever you want. There's no more sin. There's no more repentance. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You can't do whatever you want, and there is repentance when you sin. For we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So don't listen to people that lie to you that everything is perfect and you can live like a devil and don't need to repent, because they're living like devils and they're going to stand and give an account to God. That's false doctrine. My job is to get you to live right and think right so God can use you. Yes. Amen. And that furnishing and perfecting is going to come with some correction. Yes. Now you better handle it. Amen. That's why God gave you mama and daddy. And hopefully your mama and daddy didn't just stroke you all your life and told you how wonderful you were. Hopefully they also said, don't touch the stove. It's hot. Hopefully they said, don't talk to me that way, boy. Hopefully they said, clean that room right now. I don't care how you feel. Clean the room. See, because our school system won't train our children anymore. They let them do whatever they want. And that's why they're raising a generation of degenerates. But God's plan was that the parent would parent. You're not called a friend, you're called a parent. Now parent. Under the help of the Holy Ghost. But you can't only correct. The parent has to love. The parent has to hug. The parent has to encourage. The parent has, that's a very important part. A pastor is a parent. If you are rebellious to your mother and father, you're going to find it hard to be in a local church. I'm serious. There has to be correction because you're squirrely in your thinking sometimes. And I am too. That's why I have a pastor. Only pastor that doesn't need a pastor is a pastor who's perfect. I've never met one and I never will. Because there's no perfect pastor and there's no perfect sheep and there's no perfect anybody. We all need somebody to correct us and to speak into our life, to perfect us so we can be used by God, so we can do the work of the ministry. So there is some correcting involved in pastoring. So just get over it. And just thank you. Just say, thank God. Because the Bible says those who God corrects, he loves. Some of you, he's correcting privately, but you won't listen. So what does he do? He uses somebody with skin on to preach to you. And then when you still don't listen, then sometimes he'll use, there'll be a private conversation called a counseling session. And if you still don't listen, then you'll uproot yourself from the plan of God and you'll go get into error. And then I can't help you and God can't help you. And you'll stand and give an account to Jesus. And I don't want to be you on that day. Because you might have a robe of righteousness, which is basically underwear. A garment of salvation, which is basically undergarments. But you ain't going to have no robe of because God used you in the earth. Do you understand? The Bible says some will have only a garment of salvation. They won't have robes. There's different gifts. There's different honors that you get in heaven for how you live here. You need to think about that life, not just this life. Do you think, what am I acquiring up there? Not just what am I acquiring down here? Acquire things down here. Be blessed. But there should be an eternal thought process in your mind. What am I doing? Because it's going to show up there. It's going to show up when I stand before Jesus. Do you know that you are going to stand before Jesus? It's called the Bema Seat of Christ. Not the Beamer like BMW Beamer. Not that. There's no BMWs there. Sorry, Tyrone. I don't know where he is. But he thinks there's BMWs in heaven because he just got a new one and it's beautiful. But it's not the Beamer seat. It's the Bema seat. B-E-M-A. And every Christian, it's not a judgment seat. You can't be sent to hell. That's for sinners. We don't ever go to the great white throne judgment. That's a scary place. Me and you, we don't go there. Me and you, we stand before our Savior. And he tries everything we've done in the fire to see if it comes out, if there's anything left of our lives. And if there's anything left, we get rewards for it. And then we get the privilege of laying the rewards down at his feet and saying, Jesus, I honor you with my life. And some people won't have anything to lay at their feet, at his feet. Because they've got nothing to honor him because they live selfish down here. And they live just trying to acquire money and things down here. And they didn't do anything in the work of the ministry. And they didn't help God's kingdom at all. That's why you have a pastor. Yeah. So you, God can use you so that you have rewards to lay at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. So you better be grateful for the correction because I'm helping you for the Bema seat. Yeah, amen. And don't call on me because I'm not around. I'm convinced God's going to send all the pastors of all the churches first. And then I go off and have some cotton candy. And then you're going to be coming. And you're going to say, what, you just talked to Pastor? Oh, no, he's not here. He already gone. No, this ain't between him, you, and I. This ain't some triangle. This is between me and you. Pastor Craig gone. He's having cotton candy. Now, let's talk about what you did. Every word you spoke, I want an account for it. Everything you said about your pastor, I want an account for it. Every time I told you to witness and you didn't, I want an account for it. I'm telling you. Don't dread that day. Look forward to that day. But if you're going to be a rascal down here, you might as well dread that day because you're going to be embarrassed. But if you live right down here and you honor God down here and you take correction in the local church so God can use you, you're going to hold your head high that day and you're going to be excited about what Jesus says to you. You're not going to hell. You're in heaven. But how, what you, your rewards you have is going to directly is associated with how you live down here. Amen. And how you discern the Lord's body, the spiritual body, the local church. So my job is to furnish and perfect you so God can use you. My second job is to encourage you, stroke you, sing to you, love you, massage you. Oh, you're great. But that's the second job. Some Sundays, there's not much time for the second job. But I always try to get to it a little bit. So let's just do it quickly and get it out of the way. You guys look great today. I love you. You're smiling. You're honorable. You were generous with Brother Randy. Thank you. You're the best congregation in the world. Now let's move on. Let's talk about some other things here. Praise God. I want you to notice here in verse 12. Can you read it with me? Verse 11, sorry. He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Now, let me read that, please, to you from the Amplified. I need to pull that up here. The Amplified says, actually, no, go back to verse 8. It's in verse 8, not verse 11. The Amplified says in verse 8, therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He led a train of vanquished foes. And he bestowed gifts on men. Remember, when he ascended up on high with his blood, put his blood on the mercy seat, he had every name of every devil and every sickness sewn into his glorious robe. And he led a train of vanquished foes. And then the first thing he did when he sat down on the Father, he gave gifts. And then the gifts are listed there. If you look down at verse 11, he lists the gifts. And those are the five. But I want you to notice, if you haven't amplified, you notice what it says in brackets. He bestowed gifts on men. Psalm 68, do you see that? If you haven't amplified, it tells you a reference point. Psalm 68, 18. So would you mind looking at that with me? Because he's actually quoting. A lot of people don't realize that. When he says he gave gifts unto men, that is quoting the Old Testament. That was a prophecy that came in the Old Testament that Jesus would rise and that Jesus would give you gifts. Those gifts are the offices. So have a look there with me. Psalms 68. Are you there? Because I'm not. Psalms 68 and verse 18. And it says this. You got it? You have ascended on high. You have led away captive a train of vanquished foes. You have received gifts of men. Yes, of the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell there with them. Ephesians, it says in brackets, 4:8. Ephesians 4. Now I want to read that to you just from the King James. It's almost the same, but it's a little similar. What did we say, Taylor? Psalm 68 and verse 18. And it says here, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Now, Paul, he's so sweet. He decided not to quote the whole verse. He just quoted the nice part of the verse. He gave gifts unto men. But the actual verse says, because you're rebellious. Did you see that? I'm not making it up. You don't have to say, oh, shame. That's just the Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 68, 18, that he gave gifts unto men. It says Ephesians 4, 8 in brackets. And for the rebellious also. Listen, the gifts are to help bring in the lost. They are rebellious. The evangelist, office of the evangelist. But maybe it's a memo to all of you. Maybe the light bulb comes on. You know, how does this guy say in the street corner? He says, you know, something. I can't think. You know the little guy who stands in the street corner with the thing and he says, read all about it, you know. Extra, extra, read all about it. I'm telling you, extra, extra, read all about it. Some Christians are rebellious. It's not just sinners that are rebellious. Christians can have rebellious hearts, hard hearts, don't want to submit to correction. And those gifts, is that referring in the Hebrew only to sinners that the evangelist office gathers in? Because, of course, sinners are rebellious against God. But believers can be rebellious against the plan of God for their life. Believers can be rebellious against giving and tithing. Believers can be rebellious against the love walk. Believers can be very rebellious. They're not rebellious against Jesus in terms of they're born again, but their minds can be withstanding God on a lot of issues. And what does he say here? I give you gifts so that it gets the rebellion out of your life. See, when you come and you don't think right and there's rebellion, that office, those offices will help if you'll just sit and not run. If you'll just sit and not run, it will get things out of you. Joanne, put that picture up, please, on the screen of my little raccoon friend. Joanne Weisbrod sent me this picture, and she said that was outside her house in Mississauga. And she said, I looked out, and there's that little guy sitting on my chair, just sitting there. And she said he sat for 2 hours staring. Now, Mississauga raccoons are bolder than Aaron raccoons, because when an Aaron raccoon sees us, all the farmers got guns, try to blow their heads off. So if they see me, they run. But in Mississauga, nobody got guns. So just come sit there. Just think like own the joint. I love it. I think that's adorable. That's just great. And I saw that and I thought, if only people would do that at church. Just come and sit. Stop worrying and arguing and being all jittery and running away. Just come bold-faced and just sit and just say, this is my place. Take a lesson from the coon. Amen. Take that off because it's distracting folk. Praise God. If you just don't run away so fast. Don't be an Aaron raccoon, be a Mississauga raccoon. Don't run away so fast. Just come and sit. Just sit. Just sit. Just sit. Furnishing will come. Take the correction with joy because God's trying to get you ready so he can use you. And encouragement, of course, will always be there. And if there's any rebellious nature, if there's any of that old bit in you, you'll see it will start to break down. It will start to leave. Amen. And remember, we said the perfecting, verse 12 of the saints. And I said to you last time, that word in the Greek means an arrangement. It means to arrange things. It means a right ordering. You understand that when you come here, part of it's not just correction, but it's a divine arrangement for you. It arranges your thoughts right, so you think right. And when you don't think right about marriage, you come to the local church, you'll start thinking right about that. You don't think right about money. You don't think right about your boss. You don't think right about this. You don't think right about healing. There's an arrangement. There's a divine order that comes into your life. Some of that includes correction because you got to get the stinking thinking out. But if you'll just yield, that divine arrangement of thought will come to you. Amen. Do you understand that? You remember that the Holy Ghost was hovering over the face of the deep. Do you remember that? And God said, let there be light. And what happened? Out of disorder and chaos came order. Yes. The Holy Ghost is hovering over every sermon that I'm preaching. Every time there's an office in here, he's hovering. And when the word of God is preached from an office, if you'll receive it, the Holy Ghost who's hovering will cause that divine order to come into your life. He took darkness and chaos and made it ordered and light. Because the word was spoken by the Father. So when the word is spoken by the preacher, if you listen, the Holy Ghost will cause that divine order. Light will come in. Order will come in. Arrangement will come in. And you can't fix your whole life in one Sunday. It didn't take you one Sunday to get messed up. It took you a whole lifetime of people saying wrong things over you, of parents maybe saying something wrong, of friends saying wrong things over you, of you believing wrong things about yourself, of the devil hammering you. It took a lifetime to get your brain to where it is today. You think it's going to all be undone in one Sunday? Every Sunday, a layer is pulled away of the onion. Some of you got some big onions. That's all I'm saying. Big onions. I mean, onions the size of the CN Tower. I pull one layer away and don't look like anything changed. But then a year later, the onions maybe one eighth change after a year. But you just stick with it. That onion gets smaller and smaller and all that layers gets pulled away and the thinking gets renewed and your heart gets healed. And where people had spoken cursing words over you, they start to fall off. You start thinking right. A woman came in, her husband was abusing her. And I mean abusing her. And I'm telling her what the Bible says. And she's looking at me. And she's not processing it. And she says, but Pastor, but you know, a wife, you know, should take. I said, no, a wife shouldn't take that. But I realized the Lord spoke to me in the middle of the counseling session. She's broken in her mind. Because of her culture. I won't say which. But that culture and her family have conditioned her all her life to be a submissive rug. And you take whatever that man shells out to you, including a punch to the face. That the Bible don't teach that. But the culture and the family brainwashed her for 40 years. Her mind is broken. And the Lord said, you might as well not go on and get upset with her because she can't process what you're saying. I said, well, Lord, what hope is there? He said, tell her not to leave the church. Tell her to sit under the word. Only the washing of the water of the word can get layer and layer and layer of cultural ridiculousness off you. Of what your family and your extended family have lied to you. Their hearts may be right, but they're not scriptural in their words. And it has encrusted people with baggage, Jenny. And they're broken in their thinking because they don't have the mind of Christ. And I can't fix it in one counseling session because the problem didn't come in one day. It came in 40 years. Now, it ain't going to take 40 years to change it because the word is so powerful. It can do in a fraction of time what the devil and your family and your friends and life has done to you for a life. It can change it in a fraction. They may have worked on you for decades, but in a matter of months, the Holy Ghost can change that. If you'll be the raccoon. Remember, be a Mississauga raccoon, not an Aaron raccoon. The Aaron raccoons are smart. They know the farmers hate them, and they got shotguns. But the Aaron Mississauga raccoons know everybody loves them. Everybody thinks they're so cute, even though they ruin your garbage. And then nobody has guns in Mississauga. And if they do, I've never seen one. But everywhere you go up there, they just got their stuff in the grocery store. It's a very different environment when you live in the country. And they think they have certain rights. That maybe they do and maybe they don't. I don't know. Praise God. I said to one man, I said, are you sure you're allowed to have guns here? He said, read the law, son, read the law. I said, I have read the law, sir. He said, no, you ain't, because Aaron Township has a gun free. We're allowed to shoot whatever we want. I don't know if that's true or not, but he was pretty convinced. He said, I'm allowed to shoot deer. I'm allowed to shoot raccoons. He said, you come on my property, I'm allowed to shoot you too. I said, well, give me your address. I won't come by. Apparently, there's some kind of bylaw that says you can shoot vermin. And I guess your interpretation of what vermin is could vary from one person to the next. And they do consider knocking on the door, telling them about Jesus. They think you're vermin. So be very careful when you witness an Aaron. But I'm saying those raccoons know the law. They run because there's correction in Aaron. But raccoons in Mississauga, there is no law. Everybody's just so sweet and nice. So you just come sit. Just sit and watch for a while. So just don't be an Aaron raccoon. Even though there's correction, don't run. You're not going to get shot. I love you. Just sit for a while. And let all the years the devil try to encrust you and hurt you and make you feel like you're not going to make it. And all the things in your life that have aided in that dark cause, God can do in a fraction of time what the devil and his crowd have taken decades to do, because the word is more powerful than him. But you got to sit and not run. And when correction comes, you got to say, thank God for the gifts, because any rebellion in me has to go. If you got that heart, you'll grow, man. You'll grow. You think Reverend Greg is that perfect? My God. Reverend Greg is almost perfect, but Reverend Greg has gone through some problems just like I've gone through some problems. Correction has come to him just like correction has come to me through Pastor Nancy. The difference is not that we're perfect. The difference is that we take correction right. We take correction right. Hallelujah. You know why? Because we not think we're all that. If you're humble, correction is easy to take. When you think that you're better, correction is very hard to take. Just stay humble before God. He gives grace to the humble. He exalts the humble. But the proud, he doesn't even want you near him. He says, you can't even come near me. I know you are far off. And that was written to believers, not to sinners. Which means there's some believers that God holds far away from him, because their pride and their non-teachable attitude, it offends him. It offends the Holy Ghost. So stay teachable and stay ready and open to receive. And all that stuff, I just felt the Holy Ghost say such strong to me. So I'm repeating it over and over again, because there's an anointing on that line. What the devil, your culture, your family, and life has put on you for decades and molded and shaped you and hurt you and made you think wrong and made you see yourself wrong. The word of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost can break that, change that, reverse that, abort that, so that you come into the light of who you really are, the giftings God has for you, and the bright future that's ahead of you. And you know what? That lady, Jenny, she just kept sitting under the word. She came back a year later and she was not there, but she was a lot further. And she started saying, you know what? I don't think I have to put up with this. I said, well, I told you that a year ago, but see, your mind was broken, but it's being renewed. I said, just keep coming. She came back a year after that. She said, I'm not putting up with this. And so I tried to counsel the husband and get him to repent. He wouldn't. And in a situation like that, you have scriptural right to divorce. God don't expect women to get beaten. And so I looked at him and I said, you're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your wife. You're going to lose everything unless you humble yourself and repent. And he told me to take a long walk off a short pier. In other words, get lost. So that woman divorced him, rightfully so. And now her life is starting to go up. But it took her 2 years. That's 104 services if you just come once a week. That's 208 services if you come twice a week. It took all that time to get her mind and what her family taught her out of her thinking, until she could stand up for what the Bible says a woman has rights to. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, I hate divorce. But I hate abuse even more than I hate divorce. And some women are so broken because of their culture. We praise our culture so readily. And sometimes culture is the worst culprit because it violates the Bible. We're not after your culture. We're after the culture of the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom is what God says in his word. Amen. Now, did you notice here, are you still with me or have you tuned out? We want to put the raccoon up one more time. Do you need that for again? Just praise God. They said, yes, we would like to see the raccoon. Now, I want you to notice here, it says he gave gifts unto men, verse 8, right? And then he tells you what the gifts are. Look at that, verse 11. Some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, did you notice anywhere where it says the word church? Is it just me? I can't find it there. Did you see anywhere where it talks about the church's job? No, it says the gift's job, the pastor's job, the prophet's job, etc. I want you to know something. God didn't give you a church. He gave you a gift. Now, he set you and planted you in the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:18, as it pleased him, not as it pleased you. That's why you'll go until you feel this is home. When you know it's home, you're basically receiving me as your pastor. Doesn't matter the color of the carpet, doesn't matter how far it is to drive from you, it doesn't matter. Because he sets you where it pleases him, not where it pleases you. Well, I want a black pastor. Get over it. Well, I want an Oriental pastor. Tough luck. I am like an egg. I'm white on the inside and Oriental on the outside and Oriental on the inside. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm also a centennial egg. Because that has black inside and white outside. So I'm a centennial egg. I'm every kind of egg that there is. You got it? I'm trying to ease you into this. In other words, I don't see color. I'm just as Chinese as you are. I'm just as Caribbean as you are, sweetheart. Yeah, you. I'm just as Caribbean. I'm just as black as you are. I'm just as brown as you are, brother, because in Christ, I don't have a color. I'm translucent. The paint on your house is a little browner than mine. You don't get upset with your neighbor because he's got white paint. And then get upset with the other one because he's got light brown paint. And then he's got green paint. Is the man the paint? You don't go up and talk to the paint. You knock on the door and say, hey, Joe, how you doing? I don't look at your color. That's just your paint job. That's your brickwork. I don't care the color of your bricks. I care who's inside you. I care the real you. So get over this nonsense about the color of your skin. It means nothing. You happen to have a little bit of darker paint than me. And I think that's cool. And God loves your color because he painted you. And he loves my color. And my paint isn't better than your paint. And your paint ain't better than Happy's paint. Pastor Happy's paint. Forgive me. No, I'm serious. We got to say this, Jenny, because people still get messed up because they listen to the world more than they listen to the preacher. And if you listen to CNN, the Communist News Network, and the Clinton News Network, if you listen to that, they're just all there is division, strife, anger, hatred, and they say they're impartial, but they're not, because they're left wing and they had Antichrist spirit. And the Fox ain't that much better, so don't give them too much credit. And don't even talk about CBC, because they're just going to hell. I mean, don't even talk about our news, because they're so Antichrist you can't get any more. But you see, they'll stir the pot with racism. They will. From this moment forward, when you see somebody of another skin, just go, nice paint job. Father, you painted her real good. You could have painted me her. You could have painted her me. But you are like wondrous variety. So you gave her a beautiful paint job. You gave me some different kind of brickwork. And it doesn't matter about your brickwork or my brickwork. What matters is who you are inside and who I am inside. And when you get to heaven, spirits are translucent. There is no color to your spirit. So get over the carnal mindset of your skin color. Sometimes I say this to Southern pastors and I see them start to twitch. There's still racism in the church, but not in this church. I find it, I'll kill it. I didn't say I'll kill you. I said I'll kill it. Because we have no place for that. There's no place for that. There's no place for racism in the body of Christ. No place for it. I come from apartheid South Africa. I saw my little friends that weren't allowed at the dinner table because my racist father wouldn't let them come. My stepfather, not my blood father. Mama would, but daddy wouldn't. He said, they're less than you, son. I looked at him, at 6 years old, I looked at him, I said, you're wrong. I shouldn't speak to my elders like that. But I knew in my spirit, that's a lie from hell. So I've seen the damage of racism. That's why I've decided I won't let not, they can't step 1 foot in this church. And if I find it, I will decapitate it. Not you, but it. And if you can't handle the correction, go find a good racist church. And if you find an old black church, that's racism too. Now, Pastor Matthew, and don't get me started because Pastor Matthew in Africa, there ain't no white people there. I've been there. I'm the only one in the country, I think. Maybe one or two. For him to have a black church is fine. But in a multicultural city like Toronto, to have a black church, to have an all Chinese church, to have an all white church, to have an all this church, that is not right according to the gospel, because all men are, God says, I don't show respect for any one man over another man. I'm no respecter of persons. And in a city where there's so many varieties, and I say this not pridefully, but every church should look like Promise of Life. Amen. Pastors tell me all the time, how do you do it with all, we have 43 cultures in our church. And pastors, how do you do it? I said, what do you mean, how do I do it? You need to get a revelation of the paint job, brother. You're looking at the bricks instead of the spirit. And that's why you go to one group. And then all the other groups don't want to come because they don't feel comfortable, because they feel like nobody else is like me. Do you understand? I don't mean to get on your case. I'm just saying we gotta become spiritual. We gotta become spiritual. Hallelujah. And listen, if you don't see a nice variety of colors on the stage for the worship team, should that happen, don't be writing me no hate mail. Because you don't get on the stage because you're black, white, green, or purple. You get on the stage because you can sing. You get on the stage because you can play, not because of your skin color. And if there happens to be all black or all white or all purple, I don't give a rip. I care about their skill and their anointing. Are you with me? There's no room for it in this church. So I'm correcting. Now, why do you think the Holy Ghost is having me say this? Because I feel it bubbling up on the inside of me. This is part of the correcting of a pastor. This is part of furnishing you so that you can do what God's called you to do. Because if you don't get that root out of you, it's going to stunt your rest of your future. Do you understand? And can I be honest with you, since we're talking about it? Some black folk, they're just as racist or more. Because they got a chip on their shoulder about how everybody's treated them. Now, I know I'm trending, but thank God for Chantel, because she's saying amen. So as long as my lawyer is saying it's okay, I can keep preaching. It's not just what people see as racism by this textbook standard. It's of the heart. And if you have a chip, and if you are holding somebody at bay, and if you won't respect someone or won't have them in your home, I don't care what color you are, any color can be racist, and you're obsessed with the paint job. Get over the paint job. Celebrate the paint job. And look at the spirit of a man. Hallelujah. Praise God. This has to be taught, Trevor. This has to be taught. My God, they don't always like me, but this has to be taught. This has to be taught. Americans, this has to be taught. And many Americans are just like us. But I'm saying some, there's still residues. They have to get that out. Hallelujah. Did you notice it didn't say he gave you a church? It said he gave you a pastor. He gave you gifts. So when Randy comes, he is your gift. Treat him like a gift. That means show up. That means give. That means serve. Because he's not just a guest minister, he's a gift. He's a gift to us. When Joe Morris comes in November and tells you who the four horsemen of the apocalypse are, I'm sure he knows their names and everything. He's going to go through the whole thing. He knows if Adam had a belly button, he's going to put that conspiracy to rest. He knows all the names of the angels. He's going to tell us all their names. He knows when Jesus is coming, apparently. He's going to tell us the day and time. No man knows, so I'm just kidding. He don't know. But when he comes and talks about the end times, when he comes, he's a traveling minister. He actually stands in the office of a prophet and a teacher. But when he comes, he is a gift to us. Don't just look at him like, well, I'm not really interested in that. I'm not going to meet the Antichrist anyway, so why do I need to come? No, because when the gift, when God gives you a gift, you take the gift and you open the gift. And then you say, thank you. That's how Mama taught us. Thank you for the gift. Even when you got the ugly sweater from Auntie Jo that looks nasty. She's never given me an ugly sweater, but that's the only aunt I can think of is Auntie Jo. She said, I don't care whether you like it or not. You say, thank you. So when the gift comes, when Reverend Joe comes, when he comes, how do you receive him and open him? You show up and let him preach to you. You don't show up and let him preach to you. You didn't open the gift. And then after you've done it, whether you liked it or not, you say, thank you. And how do you say thank you? You open up that wallet. You put something in the offering plate. That's how you open the gift and be appreciative for the gift. And if you'll do it with a good heart, that gift will pour into you. And things that you need will come. But you got a gift every week. You got a gift here with Pastor Jenny and I. And so you receive that gift. You open it by showing up and not scowling at me while I preach. Amen. Like some of you are right now. You open that gift and then you say thank you. And you do that just by saying thank you. And you can tithe and you can give and you can serve. And you can do lots of ways you say thank you. But what I'm saying is God didn't give you no church. He set you in a church, but he gave you the gift of the pastor and the other offices. So don't just look at it like I can go to any church. See, that's where the robbery comes. If you look at it like God gave you a church, then you can say, well, I just go to that church. But if you look at it like God gave you an office and a man that stands in that office or a woman that stands in that office, now you can't just go wherever you want because that office isn't just wherever it is. Do you understand? Somebody recently said, my friend invited me to another church, so I'm going to leave. And I said, well, great. I'm so glad that your friend is more important than God the Father. Because God the Father set you where it pleased him, not where it pleased your friend. But you see, you teach this, you preach this, and people still don't get it. They've heard all of it. Their heart's not right. Maybe something came that corrected them, they didn't like it, so they want to be the raccoon and Aaron. Run, run, run. Praise God. Praise God. We are the church. He didn't give you a church. You are the church. How can he give you yourself? You are the church. How can he give you a church if you are the church? He didn't give you yourself. He gave you an office. So treat that office right. Membership is all about receiving me as that and receiving the other ministers as those gifts. Praise God. He wasn't thinking about the pastor when he sent him to the local church. He was thinking about you. Did you hear what I said? He wasn't thinking about the pastor when he sent you to a local church. He was thinking about you. Reverend Greg said something recent to me. He said the Lord spoke to him in prayer and he said, I love those people so much that I gave them a pastor. He wasn't thinking about me and giving me a job. He was thinking about he loves you so much that he wants to use you in his kingdom and he wants you to be trained so he can use you. So he put you in a boot camp of training. He loved you so much. He set you in a what we call a church, which is just a gathering of believers. Because all those believers that make a church needed training. He loved you so much, he gave you me and Randy and Pastor Nancy and Dad Hagen and all the other gifts. He loves you so much. Don't get offended with the gift. Thank God that he loved you enough to give you somebody. He didn't give you a church. You are the church. He gave you a gift. He gave you a pastor. And he loved you so much because he's trying to train you. You know what a pastor is like? A pastor is like a quarterback. Have you ever seen football? And I'm closing now. I'm starting to wind down. You know my wind down is very detailed and long. So we're going to start at 11:50 and by 12 noon we should have wound down. I'm a quarterback, my brother and sister. Right? And my staff say, hut. And I get that ball. Now that ball is revelation knowledge. All I'm looking is for somebody who's open to receive that throw. You gotta, now what do that, have you ever watched football? What do? They position themselves to receive the pass. And what is stopping them? Opposition from another team is stopping them. And there is opposition from a dark team trying to stop you, but you have to position yourself. What does the person do? I've watched, I'm not a football fanatic, but I've watched a little bit. And what, if you look at that guy, you know, they give the little thing, they know the people, it's not stupid, they know who's getting the pass or who should be getting the pass. Sometimes a quarterback has to make a split decision because that person's not open, but that person is. But they always have a plan of who's going to probably get that pass. But if you notice, once that guy gets away from the enemy and he's positioned himself, what does he do? He always looks to the quarterback. He's never looking at the stands. Wow, she's pretty. Wow. He's positions and he looks. And that guy sees him and he throws that perfect spiral. And the man catches it, and the game is won. The pastor's got revelation for you. Position yourself. Overcome the obstacles that would try to rob you. Position yourself. And look, watch. Keep your eye on that office. And when that revelation is thrown, unlike a natural game that only one person can catch, in this football game, we got 300 plus people that are all catching the pass at the same time. Yeah. Because if you'll just keep your eyes to look,
yes,
position yourself and evade the enemy, you will catch revelation knowledge. And then what happens? Are you listening? The Lord, it's simple, but the Lord, it's very simple, but the Lord showed me this. He said, and when the team catches the ball, the whole team moves forward. And when the team catches the ball, the whole team moves forward. And if you move forward long enough, you get some points up on that board. And if at the end of the game, you got more points than the enemy, you win. And every time you catch revelation, all of you together at the same time in unity, the whole church moves forward. And then we move forward. And then eventually we get a touchdown. We get some points for the kingdom. And God says, yep, you planted that church there. Yep, you've done that crusade there. Yep, you've witnessed to these families. Yep, you've been on the radio. Yep, there's some points on the board. But I can't do it if you don't catch the revelation and move with me. Hallelujah. Those are big, intimidating boys on the other side of that scrimmage line. But you're smarter than them because you've got the Holy Ghost. They don't. Devils don't have the Holy Ghost. You do. You've got an advantage. When the thought comes, stay home today. Say no, bypass him and let him go by you and get in position. Well, I should say it. The Lord said to me recently, he said, you know that couple? I said, yep. He said, because they won't be faithful. Even though they watch, they won't come. He said they've opened a door to the devil because coming is better than watching. Are you listening? And he said, because they opened the door, I can't protect them and sickness is coming on them. And exactly what he told me happened. Sickness came on them. Weakness come on them. If they don't change, premature death's going to come too. You know why? Because they don't honor and they don't discern the body. It's not enough to watch. You got to show honor and come. You got to have some backbone to you. You go to the grocery store, don't you? You get COVID there more than you can here. You go to the party. You go to the fellowship time. But I need fellowship. No, you need the word. If you have to pick one, take both. But if you have to pick one, you need the word more than fellowship. But it's amazing. It's amazing. You can't figure some people. You think that they're right, but they're not. And then they have trouble because they wouldn't take the correction. They wouldn't take the furnishing, the perfecting of the saints so that God can actually use you. You don't treat the body right, you're opening a door. You will open it. You can go into every healing line. They can rub all the hair off your head. They can pour an ointment oil over you. You can have everybody pray for you. You won't get healed. If you don't discern the body, you will have sickness. It's a guaranteed promise from God. You got to treat the body right. That includes the local church primarily. Are you with me? I'm trying to help you. Be a Mississauga raccoon. In fact, we're going to change the name of the sermon to Be a Mississauga Raccoon. Because then people watching, everybody will tune in and they'll say, I want to listen to that. Quickly, I'm going to do this in less than 10 minutes. Jeremiah, I got to get this out because I didn't get enough out. by my notes, and I don't want this series to go too long. Jeremiah 3:15, very quickly. You there? Jeremiah 3:15 to 16. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied. What happens after you've been around a pastor? Multiplication. And increased in the land. In those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. What's he saying? There's not going to be a longing for this and a longing for that, because I give you pastors. I give you pastors after my heart. Now, what's their job? Do you notice the job of a pastor here? What's the first word that it says? Feed you. My job is to feed you. There's other jobs that we'll talk about later from John chapter 10, but my primary job is to feed you. How do I feed you? Not in counseling, although that can happen too. The job for feeding is from the pulpit. Come with an expectation to get an answer. Put a demand on my anointing and say, Father, whether he preaches what I'm going through or not, because I'm faithful and because I'm around my pastor, I expect you to speak to me directly if that's what's required, because I need help in this part of my life. But also pay attention, because a lot of what little nuggets will come out and will help you. You'll get answers from the sermon. What is my job? Do you see that, Jenny? It says to feed them. You see that? I will give you pastors to feed you, and it shall come to pass when you're multiplied and increased. You think that's a coincidence? When you're fed under the pastoral office, there's a multiplication and increase that will come in every part of your life. Amen. That's from the Bible. Now have a look quickly. I know time is far spent, but bear with me just for a minute. Jeremiah chapter 23. Can you look there with me? Just a few chapters over. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 1. Jeremiah 23 and verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. What does this mean? Pastors that cause division. Pastors that preach false doctrine. Pastors that make race an issue and all these other issues an issue, because it causes a scattering amongst the sheep. God don't like that. See, God get on the pastor's job if he doesn't teach right. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. See, again, supposed to feed them. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them. As of course, is a prophecy about the Jews, but we can take it through the New Testament as well. And I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Notice the fruitfulness and increase, same as chapter 3. Was connected to the pastor in the local church. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they, the sheep, will fear no more. If I'm feeding you, you should not be afraid. I fed you for years, and COVID came, and some of you were afraid. I did my job. You didn't do your job, some of you, because you didn't receive the feeding. I offered you the grass and you said no. Then when the wolf comes, you're afraid. No, when you're feeding, there's never you have a right never to be afraid again of anything. I will set up shepherds over them, and they shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking. Oh God, I wish you would claim Jeremiah 23:4. I wish you would claim Jeremiah 23:4. Father, you've given me a pastor who is feeding me, and I have a right to never lack again. If it worked in a lesser covenant, it sure works today. I have been given a pastor, and I'm receiving the feeding. I have a right to never be afraid, to never be dismayed, and to never lack for the rest of my life. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. And I've got an under shepherd with skin on called Pastor Craig. He's an over shepherd. But he gave me gifts. So you could say, the Lord and pastor is my shepherd. I shall not want. That Hebrew word means to lack anything. I have a right to claim Psalm 23:1. I have a right to claim Jeremiah 23:4. Because I'm fed by a pastor's office, I should not lack. I should be prosperous and fruitful, multiplying and increasing. And I should never be afraid or dismayed again for the rest of my life. Now, if you just get bold like that raccoon, bold, and sit down and say, this is my right. This is my right. I take that office. I take that teaching. I take that feeding. Now, Father, you are obligated. You got to get bold with God. That's not disrespectful. He said, prove me in this. You tithe, I'll guarantee you I'll bless you. Well, this is a promise just like the tithe. You can say, Father, I hold you to your word because I've received the feeding. I have a right not to be afraid. I have a right not to be dismayed. I have a right to never lack again for the rest of my life. If my company goes under, tough luck. That's your problem, not mine. I have been faithful to be fed, and I am doing what my pastor taught me through the word. Now give me a better job. You have a right to it. But too many people are so... You gotta have a backbone to you in this dark world. You listening? I told God, promise of life cannot fail. But you know why? Because I have a pastor. I tell the Lord, I have a pastor. I receive her feeding and her correction. Therefore, it is impossible for me to lack. Which means I have to have promise of life work because that's the main conduit by which God blesses. Do you understand? Because I have a pastor, this church has to work. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be dismayed. But if you look at the Bible, in fact, what I should be having, verse end of verse 3, is I should be fruitful and increasing. But did you notice all of it is contingent on the word feed? Look at how many times the word feed is there. If you don't show up, you can't eat. And if you eat, you can't vomit out what you ate because of your rebellion. Do you understand? You have to eat. Now, you could be like Taylor. He was the slowest eater in the history of humanity. We have all finished the meal and dessert, had seconds and our coffee, and he's still doing the first course. That's why he's so fighting trim and thin, because his digestion is just super perfect. Now, you can be a real slow feeder. Or you can be like me, where you just basically, you know there's a flavor, but you just swallowed it whole. I don't need teeth. My dentist says to me every time, I go, you got one of the best set of teeth I've ever seen. I said, yeah, because I never chew anything, I just swallow. He says that to me. No, he did. He said, is it genetics? What's your thing? He said, you don't even hardly floss. I know you don't floss because I can tell you're not flossing, right? Don't lie to me, Craig. Oh, I floss, doctor. He said, you're lying. I said, you're right. I don't floss. But I do brush my teeth. I floss once when I'm led by the Lord. I floss. You don't understand none of that because he's Armenian. He don't understand nothing. And I said, no, I don't floss, but I do. I'm faithful to brush. He goes, I don't understand why your teeth are so good. I said, I just swallow everything. I don't even use them. That is gone. It's done. Listen, we got busy. We got people to say it's saved. I don't have time to chew. Just swallow that baby. Taylor, forget the 26 chews per bite. He does 98. 98. That's why he's so fighting trim. Look how good he looks. You can be a slow feeder or you can be a fast feeder. You can be a chewer or a gulper. Just take the grass. Be the raccoon to sit long enough so you can eat. Amen. Praise God. We will all remember today, because all I'll have to say is, are you a Mississauga or an Aaron raccoon? And the next person that leaves this church, Taylor, I'm going to say, hope you enjoy Aaron. And they may not know what I mean, but they had to run away in fear. But if you just sit here, thank God for Joanne Ricebrod. Praise God. She helped the sermon today. Thank God for that little critter. God bless that critter. Lord, let him find extra rats and whatever he needs. Let him be blessed. He helped us today. He helped the body. Amen. Hey, bless you, little buddy. May you find all the garbage your heart desires. In fact, Joanne, adopt that baby right now. Let's take up an offering so she can adopt him. He needs rabies injections, and it's all going to cost her some money. Praise God. I am a Mississauga raccoon. I find and I sit boldly and I feed, and then I will prosper. I will be multiplied. I will never be afraid and I will never lack. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I bless you and I thank you for all the paint jobs in this building. We love every paint and brick color that there exists, because you and your wondrous variety didn't want to be bored and look at one kind of brick. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the revelation of the gift of the pastor. I thank you that you're helping them catch it. I thank you that you're helping them see it. I thank you that they sit and feed and they claim the promise of your word and it will work for them. Their life will turn around and become increased. Fear will depart from them. Dismay will abandon them. And lack will be a distant memory. Because we have a right to increase because we're in the local church. We're honoring and discerning the body of Christ. Health belongs to us. Feeding on the word, washing our mind, living in victory, going from glory to glory. I give you praise for it in the mighty name of Jesus.